Ricey and Reavers on Wednesday morning after that latest Twins debacle.
Pat, just when we think we're turning around, we just go right back to mediocrity.
Yeah, and here's what my thought was as I was driving in here today. For 5 weeks, you've had Willie Mays. You've had yes. Willie Mays for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire vibe with the team is negative.
Yes.
Everybody's mad. You have a guy that's playing like center field I've never seen played before. If the ball's within 120 feet, he's going to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. I mean, last night he made the diving catch that everybody talked about, but he made another diving catch to take the ball off the grass, and then that ball deep to center field was not an easy, not routine.
Think of how much more awful this pitching staff would be if
him.
He was not in center field. And I'm deadly serious.
No, I am too. Yeah. I was saying they're 20% better when he plays. Now I got it up to 25. But I'm talking about pitching.
Yes.
And, fielding is
everything. Fielding. Yes.
I'm talking about all aspects because when he plays, their base running is 75% better because he's the only guy they got that can run. I mean, Cave can run a little bit, but we don't want him playing. You're right. He gave Happ a good performance last night just because he's so damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's playing now is just phenomenal. And now I wrote this today, and I wasn't completely insincere, but, he showed some signs in 2019 before he got hurt three times,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But in 2018, did you think he was ever going to be able to hit? He was striking out.
I didn't, and here's why I didn't.
He was striking out 40%. He had a long swing, we all thought.
I didn't, because at that point, he was probably, 23, 24?
Yeah, he was 24.
And he was completely guessing when he was at the plate.
Yes, and he was confused at all times and seemed to have a long swing. He was letting that first pitch fastball. I always was shocked. With that, that Molly was his manager for 4 years, was it? 4 years? 2015 to 18, right?
Yeah, that's
greatest right. First pitch fastball hitter I ever saw in my life.
Paul Molitor.
If you throw him a strike, but he couldn't get him to pull the trigger on that pitch. He'd take that. I think he watched Joe and said, this is their best hitter. Maybe this is the way you're supposed to hit. I don't know. But he wanted to get in a hitter's count. I got news for you. When the count's 0-0 and they throw you a first pitch fastball down the proverbial bleep,
that's a hitter's count.
That's the hitter's count. That's the hitter's count. And he got himself in so much trouble and waving. I mean, he had a strikeout rate right there with Sano. It was incredible. And I didn't know if he was ever going to be able to hit. I was worried about the length of his swing and other things. And to his credit, 2019 basically said, bleep everybody, or maybe 18, bleep everybody, I'm going to go back to hitting the way I hit, which was see the ball, hit the ball.
The first
Ken Herbeck and Gary Gaetti being drunk at 1 o'clock in the morning, walking through the lobby, see the ball, hit the ball. That's what he started doing. And
the first eye-opening moment for me with him this year was when they were in Detroit. I think it was the very first game of that series in Detroit, and he was facing a relief pitcher that he remembered from last year, and he was sitting on that slider first pitch, and he walloped that thing, and I went, wait a minute, what's this here now? And he even said so after the game. He alluded to the fact that he said, well, I knew that this guy was going to give me a slider, so I was waiting for it early in the count, and it was the first pitch. I'm almost positive it was the first pitch of that at bat. And that was when I went, holy crap, we might have something here.
Yeah, he's been amazing, and in the field it's incredible. In the field it's great at the plate. He's hitting 386, and he's hitting 386, I believe, when the league average is 230.
Oh, it's awful.
It's there. Nobody can hit. This is like hitting 386 in 1968 when Bob Gibson had a 1.12 ERA and everything. But. And it's a shame that that all we're talking about today is how lousy the bullpen
and,
is.
And, you know, you can't even really say, well, the division's not that good. The division's okay.
Oh, they're the fourth best team in the division.
Well they're the White still Sox, better than Detroit.
I said they're the fourth best team. They're better than Detroit.
Right. I'm sorry.
The
right.
Fairville Lakers are a toss-up with Detroit when now that you've reinforced your pitching staff. But I watched Kansas City was here. I like their lineup better than the Twins. Probably.
Especially because they're not afraid to run a little bit. Yeah.
They're a flip. The Whiteys now, they could be in big trouble because Robert to go with Jimenez. So
are we going with Robert or Robert? Which one are we
going? I'm going with Robert. Okay. I was trained my whole life how to pronounce Spanish players' names. This guy ain't coming in here from Cuba and tell me he's Robert.
Plus, so Robert just sounds better.
Yes, it sounds like a ball player. So anyway, that's
is he out for the year? Or I know it's an extended period of time, but
4 months at least.
Ooh, that's not
well,
good.
Well, a torn hip flexor.
That's not good, especially when you're a center fielder.
Meanwhile, at least the good news is Kirilov's probably only going to miss 2 months.
What happened?
I think a swing.
Is that what it was?
I think it was a swing.
Are we seeing that more and more now, by the way?
Yeah, but he doesn't have that vicious swing or anything.
Well, but Tatis the other week, you know, hurt his shoulder swinging.
Yeah, maybe it is,
or is this we're overly cautious now?
He had another wrist injury. Was it last? You know, he had one before.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I didn't know
but
that.
But it's they didn't confirm it yesterday. What was Rocco's fantastic quote about?
Excuse me, Dr. Baldelli.
Dr. Baldelli, did you see the quote?
No, I missed it.
I got to look at Twitter here. Just a second. I used it on Twitter today. His quote was:
"Speaking of Kirilov's injury."
And he wouldn't tell. It doesn't appear to be the most minor of things.
So
it doesn't appear to be the most. That was his way.
So
of
that means it's bad.
That means it's bad. In fact, I tweeted out, "I'm going to use that next time someone inquires about my heft." It doesn't appear to be the most minor of things.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Anyway. Here is two things.
Yes, sir.
You see Gibby come in here.
He looks pretty good last night.
Go eight innings, throw 107 pitches, go after people, and you wonder what's going on here. Since nobody goes after anybody, are we getting so overanalyzed with our pitchers that they all are trying to make the perfect pitch and get the 3-2? And are we giving them... Too much instruction. When you see Gibby pitch like that, because, there was a while that Gibby wasn't a confident guy, but he pitched, was it 18? He had one year, he had a pretty damn good year.
Wasn't it 18 when he got sick?
And then he got sick. But what I'm saying is you see that Gibby, and you don't see any Twins pitchers, starters pitching like that, going after people.
Berríos will on occasion.
Yeah, he will, but he'll also screw around for no reason.
Yep, you're right.
And I'm wondering if we'll be being overly, you can't throw this guy a slider, you can't throw this guy a fastball, you can't throw this guy, we're eliminating too many pitches. I think they're being over-instructed.
I think you might be right because, when you watched Gibson pitch last night,
he threw what
that was the best I've ever seen his slider move.
Yeah. He's got a cutter now, too, but the changeup was real good last night. Yeah. And I will say one thing. I think it was Neil Allen. The only thing he ever did was he really got Gibby to goose up the changeup, and it's become a better pitcher for him. But he was in command last night, and it's too bad all the other stuff happened because that should have been the story of the game.
Yeah.
Gibby coming home and ramming it where it hurts.
And you think about it, he gave up the solo shots to Buxton and Astudillo. That was it.
Yeah, and Buxton jumped him early. Got it up in the hitting zone, and Buxton
but
killed it.
But the lineup didn't do anything.
No. Well, he retired the last 12.
I thought it was 15.
Well, he retired 12 of them, and then the.
Oh, right, you're right. I'm sorry.
The bullpen retired three. The last, from Astudillo's home run till the 10th inning, they didn't get a hit.
So speaking of that, I think it was Dan Hayes that put this number out. When the Twins have had to bat in the ninth inning of games this year, okay?
17-1, right?
whatever it is. But do you know what they're hitting when they've had to bat in the ninth inning this season,
Zero?
Patrick? They are 6-61 this season.
Yeah, and at least we have that 10th inning magic to fall on that
right?
guy.
Okay. What are they, 0-7?
So you have Brandon Waddell, who was a reject of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he came over, and I actually saw him this spring, and I said, this guy's got pretty good stuff. What's the deal? But we now know what the deal is. He doesn't have it under the left nipple, as they said, you know. So he's afraid to throw strikes, so he gets the crap beat out of him. But he's a Pirates reject, and he's 28 or something like that. And they have, you know, they have so few guys they trust in that bullpen now. How can you can't bring Colome in, Sam is closer, and he has some train wrecks, and all of a sudden you're in the 10th inning and you're desperate and you use Brandon Waddell instead of him or, you know, somebody else.
But could you imagine? I don't disagree with
you
altogether.
But I suppose if he loses again, he gets heat. But what the hell? How much worse can it get? But here is what they have waiting in the wings.
Oh, here's the big reinforcements on the way.
Waiting in the rings in wings in St. Paul.
Okay.
And honest to God, this could be the St. Paul Independent League team. The same pitching, damn near the same pitching staff that you would have then.
Not the AAA affiliate.
31-year-old guys who've been four places, and they aren't used-to-bes. They are never was's, okay? Andrew Albers was the starter.
Ooh.
36-year-old crafty lefty from Canada who we got from Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Nicest guy ever.
Oh, great
Had
kid.
Had two straight shutouts.
Remember that?
It'll
that was fun.
Never be equaled. Toby gave him, let him stay in for seven last night. He gave up seven. I said, I don't know if he battled his tail off, but he sure wasn't throwing the fire out of the ball, you know, because anyway. Sean Anderson, he's the guy that they got from, so he's 1994.
He's the guy we got for the outfielder, right, for Lamont Wade?
Yes. Okay. So he's 26, kicked around, he's with the Giants, never made it. Charlie Barnes, 1995, he's a lefty. I think they drafted him. I think he's one of their draftees. He's got nothing. Danny Colombay, 1989, lefty. He's kicked around. He's kicked around forever. I saw him pitch. Then you got the Dauber down there trying to be a starter. You got one prospect, really, that Duran, who they got.
From Houston, right?
Was that the Houston trade?
I think so.
I get the Escobar trade mixed up with the Presley trade. But, well, he's in Florida with some medical problem. Luke Farrell, he's 1991. He's kicked around. We're going to see him again. Ian Gibault. He's Ian Gibault. He's 27. Ian Hamilton. He's 26-7. Kicked around forever. Derek Law, 1990, 30 years old, 31 years old. He's kicked around forever. Robinson Laire. I don't think he's ever been in the big leagues. If he has, it's only been
for
10
minutes. I've never even heard of that
name
before.
But he's another kick. These are all six-year minor league free agents that they signed.
What are they doing?
I don't know. Juan Manea, another one, 31 years old, 30 years old. Now, Bailey Ober is one of their guys, and he's allegedly a prospect, but now he's 25 years old. Chandler Shepherd, 1992. A guy that's been around forever, never made it, never really, you know. All these guys have pitched like four games in the big leagues, you know. Smeltzy's over there. He'll be back. We'll see Smeltzy.
He should
again.
Be.
Glenn Sparkman. Glenn is now, he has the same birthday as Miguel. So May 11th, which is when?
That's next
Tuesday or
something? Next Monday or Tuesday.
Glenn is 29, and Glenn is the one who, when he pitched this spring, they liked him because they liked his slider, and then we saw him pitch. And he had two walk-offs in his first three starts. In other words,
nice.
The game, he threw his 20 pitches, there were still base runners on, and they declared the inning to be over. So But they gave those guys that, you know, that for the first 2 weeks down there, they didn't have to finish. The manager could just say, "We suck. We're leaving."
I remember you and the mayor had thoughts on that that was first introduced.
Well, I came to call those outings the Sparkmans, you know, when you walked over. They didn't know what to do with the box score, so they gave those guys credit for however many outs were needed to end the inning.
So even if there was one out, they called it a day.
And then when you read the box score the next day, the guy got a whole
inning.
He got a full inning.
Oh, is that a bunch of horse crap?
One day, Glenn got no outs, and he got credit for the inning. Anyway, Glenn's first three efforts, he was credited with 9 outs, but he actually only got 4, you know. But we got him. Oh. We haven't got rid of him. And then, remember that Andrew Vasquez, a lefty that threw slop?
Yes.
Tall lefty that threw slop. He's still there. That's what you have waiting in the wings. Well, Griffin Jacks is a guy they drafted. He's an Air Force Academy kid, I think. And, you know, basically was able to dodge his requirement to pursue baseball. He's 19. He's 26 now. And I've seen him pitch. It's nothing special. But here's the thing. 40-man roster, pitching staff. Usually, if you have a pitching staff, you have, you know, half of it's 40-man guys that are in AAA, right? And waiting to get called up because they're 23 or 4 or something. They had 18 pitchers, if you count Duran, and 5 of them, I believe, are on the major league roster, the other 18. But last night in Omaha, they have 31 players now, and you're able to make 3 of them inactive, but you're allowed to make your other starting pitchers your inactives, right?
Okay.
So that reduces the number. Duran not being pitched, that reduces the number of pitchers to 70. And then you got the 3 starters who you got on the inactive list. Mm-hmm. That reduces the number of pitchers to 14. And then you got your starter for the night. That's 13. And then you got one other starter, you know, like Dobnik's not going to be used because he's probably pitching tonight, right? You got 12 relievers. How long are those games going to take? I saw that other teams have like 14 pitchers and 14 position players on their team. The Twins got 18 pitchers on their 32-player roster now.
And how many of them are actually worth a damn, Pat?
That's the problem.
They're all the same guy.
They're all guys that you hope can show up and be Matt Whistler, but none of them are going to be.
But Whistler hasn't even been good this year.
No, he's been terrible. But where are the prospects? Where are the guys that throw hard? What the hell are these guys doing?
I don't know, and that's what I was going to ask you.
Their development is terrible.
What's the plan?
I have no idea, but you can't run out this crap. You know, I mean, God Almighty, when you're in the stands yelling, "Bring in Stashek," you know you got problems, right?
Well, and they're doing this against Texas.
I can guarantee you today when the roster moves end up, I think today when the roster moves end up being made, they'll go to 14 pitchers.
No.
I think they will because he's overused the guys he trusts, you know. So, but that just means you're going to call up somebody you don't trust.
Well, and here's the most deflating part about, and I know it's just one game in baseball, but what was so deflating about that was they rebounded to take the series against Kansas City with a nice win on Sunday where they clubbed the hell out of the ball.
And they played really good. I mean, they weren't
outside
hitting.
Of Saturday, they played great that whole series.
But they weren't hitting. And then, you know, they played good money and they weren't hitting last night, but they played very crisp.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, bango, you know.
And I think what's the problem that we're seeing, the trend is, unless Berríos is on the mound, and unless Maeda at least gives you an effort, and Hap will
he was good. Hap will give you 5.
But other than that, you're screwed.
Yes. Yes. But Hap, as you say, his performance was kind of distorted by the fact he's got... Say hey, kid.
Yeah, he's got Willie Mays in center field
kind of help, but it is kind of sad. You know what else is a cause for concern here? Nelly looks 40 all of a sudden. He's not hitting lately. But then I go back to my friend Bob Dutton, who covered him in Seattle when he had some enormous years in that big ballpark. And I called him up when I got him, and I said, "What's the deal?" He says, "For 2 weeks, you'll say this guy is done. Get rid of him." And then for 3 weeks, he'll carry the team. So he's, for all of us guys who go back to the original Twins, he's a better Bob Allison, because that's what Allison would do. For 2 weeks, you'd be booing him and get him out of there, and he's Calvin's nephew. And, you know, we were convinced he was Calvin's nephew. And then all of a sudden you get hot, and for 2 weeks Harmon didn't have to hit because he did.
Well, so, and I think we can
and
give...
And I think that's kind of an old baseball thing.
Well, and not to mention, too, you got at least... Unless the season's over and he's got a .212 batting average, I'm giving Nelly the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, I am, too. Yeah. I'm just saying that he's cooled off right now.
Right. But don't worry, Pat, because now that Kirilloff's hurt, Miguel's on the way.
Well, you know what? I wrote today, maybe, you know, because we all wanted to trade Buxton for Syndergaard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now Buxton's
including the two of us,
yes,
by the way.
Yeah, I'm not innocent here. I said that Buxton is now the best player in the American League for this spell of time.
Yes.
I'm not saying he's better than Trout, although the fact that he's twice as good in center field as Trout does narrow the gap, you know, because Trout's a below average center fielder statistically, and Buxton's the best that ever breathed. And so that narrows the gap. But you got the best player and a guy we thought was hopeless, and now they've done this basically overextended seminar with the big man out there facing the 96-mile-an-hour machine. That's basically what they've been doing. They've been out there. Rudy's been out there with him constantly. And they're trying to make him aware that if you're going to be a little late, it's okay to hit the, you know, you don't have to pull everything. But not pulling things takes the mental aptitude of making an adjustment when, you know.
Yes, it does.
And that's not one of his strengths. But basically what I said is, hey, what if he starts hitting? You know, what if he does?
Maybe, prove us wrong again.
Yeah. What if prove us wrong again, basically. But my prediction is to be in the lineup tonight and strike out three times. So what the hell?
Fighting chance.
Yeah.
You mentioned...
I think he goes in with an approach, and then he strikes out anyway and says, "How the hell with it?"
I'll try it again next time.
Starts swinging from his rather large rump.
So you mentioned Trout. Did you see, I forget who put this up on Twitter the other day, he had an at-bat against Tyler Glasnow from Tampa Bay.
I bet it was great.
In Anaheim, okay?
Glasnow's got the best stuff.
This is Mike freaking Trout.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
Okay? First pitch was 99 on the outer half of the black. I mean, it was right there, and Trout kind of looked like, okay, here we go. The next pitch was 99 on the inner half of the black, in which Trout, he either fouled it off or something, and then the next pitch was 99 on the outer half. Trout swung so hard and missed, and he just kind of gave it one of these, like, tip of the batting helmet. Like, how do you hit that?
The Twins faced him late in spring training. So when you were pitching a little more.
To get guys ramped up.
I think he only went four. They had no chance. I went in and talked to Gladden and Provis. They were doing the thing. You know, I mean, I hadn't seen him at his best. He was working on pitches that day. But when he wanted to, he threw 100. And then a great breaking ball. That's as good a stuff as I've ever seen. And Pittsburgh gave him up for Archer.
And Meadows.
Meadows, too.
They got Meadows and this kid for Archer.
And they were like on the fringe of the wild card. What the hell were they thinking?
Oh, and by the way, they just acquired the best pitcher in the American League.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so funny, because I remember when they traded Snell to the Padres in the offseason. And, well, what are you doing? You were two wins away from the World Series, and you're trading the American League Cy Young, former American League Cy Young winner, and They not only got the Padres' best pitching prospect, yeah. I think they got their best infield prospect.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, they have this guy now as their number one starter,
who's
still not making any money.
No, but that's the guy that'll get traded either this winter or next winter before he's, you know, they'll have to trade him.
I forgot to look. How are they doing this year?
They're around
500.
They had a bad homestand. They were playing okay, and just had a bad homestand.
Okay.
So. How about you know what the great thing about baseball is?
What's that, Patrick?
We all know how things are going to play out, right?
Right.
And we all agreed that the National League East had an incredible amount of hair on it, right?
Yes.
The Braves.
Oh, man.
Loaded. The Nats, back again.
Philly.
With a really good pitching staff. The Mets.
Yes.
By the way, DeGrom's getting his elbow or Ooh. Getting his arm checked. I'm not sure if it was elbow or not. The Mets, the Phillies. That, you know, the division was four deep. Yesterday, nobody was 500. So, I mean, it's...
Really?
Yeah. Yesterday, nobody was 500. I don't know if that's still the case, but it's, you know, as they say... That's evidence that it's early.
Philadelphia is 15-15, leading the division.
Who's the fifth team in that division?
Miami, surprisingly.
Yeah, was last year's surprise
team.
Yeah,
they were a playoff team
last year.
So that
was a loaded division, and nobody's 500.
You know, the best division's the West. National League West, don't you think?
Yeah.
With the Giants' surprising start.
How about the Brewers winning the first three in a four-game series with the Dodgers last week?
I watched, yeah.
And... the Dodgers lost 7 out of 10 at one stretch.
Well, plus, didn't they just lose? They lost May for the year, right?
Yes. Yeah, they lost.
And they lost somebody else earlier this year, too.
Yeah, but they lost May for the year, so now they'll have to. Who's that? They'll have to put in a rotation that was.
David Price?
David Price, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have. He was in the bullpen, so they'll have to put him in the row. He'll have to be their fifth starter now.
Making $34 million a year or whatever the hell he's making.
That's right. But it is, you know. We went a couple of days without the MVP chance, but they were going again last night when he hit that home run. And then
you mentioned the NL East. I've got the standings here. Not only is only one team at 500, all five teams have a negative run differential.
Really?
All five teams do.
Yeah, it's not because they're playing each other. I don't think they are playing each other.
I forget when DeGrom's last really good start was, but for some reason I was listening.
He's unhittable.
I was listening to it on, it was either ESPN or satellite radio. I can't remember which one. And they were talking about how, you know, he's had some tough luck. Do you know that he has... Every start, I think it was his last 30 starts that he's left with the lead.
Yeah.
The team is 500 because the bullpen has been god awful when he's left the game.
I'll trade him.
Yeah, right.
I'll trade him bullpens. You want to do that? Although Rodgers.
Could have had Trevor May.
Rodgers, you know, he throws the 2-0 cookie to the guy because he doesn't want to put him on base and he hits the home run. So mm-hmm. It's 3-2. Well, then Donaldson doesn't make the play. That shocked me that he didn't make the play
too.
Of that chopper. And then the next ball is a little roller in the hole, but they're shifted over. So they, you know, they don't make the play on that. He didn't exactly get rung up, but, they give up two. And then basically I said, now it's time for some 10th inning magic from the How can you be 0-6 in sudden death?
I don't know.
That's like losing six shootouts in a row.
I don't know. But I know it's only May 5th.
They haven't scored a run yet, right?
No, they have not.
In the 10th?
I know it's only May 5th, but if this continues, what are they going to do? I mean, is this a...
I had a guy come to me the other day convinced that they're gonna unload.
Well, they're old, Pat.
I know. They are old. And here's the other thing. We're willing to bash Miguel, you know, as we should. What's going on with the right fielder?
Kepler. Yeah, I don't know.
36 home runs and 90-some RBIs
two years ago.
Where is what? How? He's in his prime.
He's also
He's
a guy.
He's an athlete. He's in shape. What the hell's wrong with him?
He's another guy that gets way too pull happy.
Yeah, he has gotten. Yeah, he never has been much of a left fielder.
Well, and you look at the shift they put. Pat, they don't even have anybody on the left side of the infield. Nobody.
Yeah.
Even the third baseman's barely past second base. Max, look at all that field over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's never hit that way, but he's gotten more pull happy. But Yeah, it was. That's a, you know, not because of the crowd, because there's only hell. They can't even sell out Pittsburgh with 10,000 seats. Ooh. They had 8,000 something, but Texas with, but that's just. I've seen people more upset about this loss than, except for the one that they. That Colome kicked away.
Which one?
The bad, the one, the, which, the one.
Was it the Oakland one?
Yeah, was it?
The Oakland one when they were up and then he came in and threw 58 pitches or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they let him pitch two innings. That's when you knew that Rocco was in full panic mode, too.
Oh, when he tried to cling to this guy.
Well, he let Colome pitch, you know, throw a 30 pitches to get out of the inning and then brought him back out for the next inning. That's a cry for help. You know, Gardy used to do that once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
When he had a really rotten reliever and they wouldn't get rid of him, he just let him take a beating once in a while to say, look up there. What do you think? You like him so far? You know. Okay, well, anyway, go watch Willie Mays and hope the rest of the team can be that good because, you know, Willie Mays played here.
That's right.
And I think he was hitting he was in the 400s when he got called up after 30-some games. I just gave myself an idea. I got to go back and look up what Willie Mays' stats were in 1951 with the Millers.
There you go.
And then, because the number of games is almost the equivalent of what Buxton
is. That's true. You're right, because that would be about a month and a half a game. Yeah, right. You're right.
So, anyway. All right. Well. We'll talk town ball next week.
Beautiful.
Are the Lakers playing this weekend?
We are at our rival in St. Patrick, one of the best ballparks in the state. Mother's Day, 2:00 in the afternoon.
Is this Mother's Day?
It is.
The official stance on a gift for the wife.
Boys, let's come up with something good.
She's the mother of your children, so you have to do
it. Well, right, but it's so much easier
when this is your second wife, and she says, and when you say something about it, she says, I'm not your mother, I think that gets me off the hook.
Well, you could, you can apply the Joe Suchere theory. She ain't my mother.
Saves himself a lot of money doing that.
Yes, it does.
All right. Ricey and Reavers on baseball. We join in your disgust with the Twins bullpen.
For a beautiful lawn all season long, spring to fall, log on to professionalturf.com. You do that, you're going to be able to schedule this free no-obligation estimate where a ProTurf pro is going to walk your lawn and then design a 3-4 application treatment that they apply throughout the summer that gets rid of the weeds, keeps your yard thick and luscious, and it's that way until the snow flies again. Applications that are safe for you, the family, pets, the environment, those kids that always cross your yard that you're yelling at, it's even safe for them. All you have to do is water and mow, and I mean mow a lot. It really works. The GL staff is all signed up. 90% of you GLers are signed up. You should too. It's more popular than a COVID shot, and it's the best thing you could do for the health of your lawn. ProfessionalTurf.com.
This is Reavers once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And Josh has a very basic question for you. Do you know what you own? You see, Mr. Money Talk's clients, and that's Josh Arnold, by the way, they always know what they own. He has found out that most people that he meets with every single day, they have no idea. Josh has seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds, and there are real instances of people that are paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that these bonds currently yield. Josh begs of you, know what you own. You see, trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Take it from me that you can trust Josh. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. Call him at 952-925-5600. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
Since a couple of years after Leif Erickson arrived, Minnesotans have been enjoying all this great state has to offer. From Niagara Cave to the Lake of the Woods, outdoor adventures abound. Minnesota spans more than 86,000 square miles. It's great we can experience a state so rich in landmarks, landscapes, art, and adventure. With so many adventure options, it got us thinking, why are so many Minnesotans limiting their home and auto insurance options? Today, 80% of Minnesotans have their insurance with just one agent who has only one company, no options. At the Canopy Group, our guys at the Canopy Group and gals, we offer you more than 16 companies for your home and auto insurance and 30 professionals. As your needs change, you should have options to continue to provide with the best coverage for the best price. You wouldn't want to fish in only one of Minnesota's 10,000 lakes, and we don't want you to be stuck with only one insurance company. Visit thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389, 800-967-3389 to get plenty of insurance options today.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.